Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Sorry about that.
You said this was on five.
There we go. Yes, I've just finished a session that finished at, what, quarter till, or just about 10 till. Unfortunately, I don't know who scheduled these sessions because they put me at the other end of C. And unless you hadn't noticed, it's a really big convention center. Of course, the real problem is that I'm the track owner for Azure, so I actually scheduled it back to back. I just didn't pick the room. I didn't know they were going to put me all the way over there. But anyway, made it here in time, or almost in time. Welcome to a session where we're going to talk about building e-commerce solutions in Azure. Now, typically, you come to these conferences, we do deep technical dives into specific features. But one of the things that we've been working on recently in Azure is to try and expand out the way we look at the product and the way we talk about it to people. So rather than giving you, and you'll still get these really deep technical deep dives into any specific feature in Azure that you really need to know about. But at the same time, we want to help you think about, how do I join all these pieces together to make something that's actually a solution for me? So if you're, you're building an e-commerce system, there's a lot of pieces of Azure you want to bring together to make that e-commerce system. It's not API management or app service or storage or anything like that. You got to think about it holistically. So this is what we're going to try and do in this session, is to look at, the number of the options that you have for building e-commerce inside Microsoft and inside Azure specifically. So first thing we'll do, primarily because we're recording this, and it may be the first session that anybody watches at Ignite. I'll go over kind of just like the Azure application platform as it is today. These may be slides that you've seen before, so I'll just talk to them quickly, and then we can kind of get into the meat of the presentation. Then we'll look at, what is it important to think about from an e-commerce point of view as we think about, the specific needs of an e-commerce platform, the specific needs of the end user of that platform, and also the developer of the platform. We'll take a look at some customers who are doing e-commerce on us today. And then I'm going to dive into some kind of ready-to-go solutions for e-commerce that you can actually take today. And I'll walk through a number of architectures and do a couple of demos to show you some of the ways that you can deploy them. And then hopefully we'll have time for some Q&A at the end. So the first thing I want to do, how many people have seen these slides before? Oh, look at that. Well, you didn't go to our other sessions then. Okay, I thought these were in all the sessions. Let's just talk a little bit about Azure in general. How many people today are using Azure? Okay, so about half the room, probably. You can think about Azure as really being two kind of primary platforms inside Azure. The first one is IaaS. So the first one is, our traditional virtual machines, storage, networking. It's really that your data center, your big boxes that you had in your office, but we're just going to look after those boxes for you in our data center. You still get to go all the way down to the OS level of installation on the VMs. You have to set up networking. You have to work out storage accounts. This is kind of that first step into the cloud. This is what Amazon does. This is what Amazon has done very well for a few years. And it's really that, if I don't really feel like I can take the complete cloud today, but I do want to get some of the benefits, then I can move my existing applications directly into an IaaS environment. It's just like virtualizing on-premise, but I'm doing it in the cloud. So that's kind of like the primary place. But really what I like to talk about is, what makes the cloud significantly different? And that's the PaaS side of the house, so platform as a service. This is where we are going to abstract you from the work, the minutiae, of having to manage things like an operating system. Okay? We don't want you to have to manage operating systems. We don't want you spending all your time patching them, making sure that they're all up to date. What we want to give you is a set of platform services that you can take advantage of, to build applications where you can actually focus on building the applications, as opposed to focusing on just keeping hardware and operating systems working. And that's really what platform as a service delivers. And you can see here, you've got app service, Service Fabric, Functions, cloud services, and other PaaS solutions that are not from us. And if we think about how these kind of align up to the things you want to do, app service, which has web, mobile, API, and logic apps inside it, apps being a rather interesting tag because they're not really apps, they're services. That's really web and mobile development. That's your traditional, if you're a web developer used to running on IIS or, you know, doing Apache or something like that, what we've done is we've got web apps that you can write in Java or Java or Node or PHP, Python, Go, if anybody uses Go, or .NET, of course. But it's the where you'll feel the most comfortable as a web developer. And then we add mobile services. We add things like API services to allow you to exchange data. But it's kind of the more traditional first step for a PaaS person going to the cloud, for a web developer going to the cloud. Then you can step across to Service Fabric, and this is where we're talking about microservice applications. Anybody doing microservices today? Yeah, it's a brave new world, and it is the future of computing in certain ways. So microservices really allow you to build applications that are composed of lots and lots of very small services that do very specific things. It really comes out of the Linux world and the container world, as you think about that. They're fast to start. You can make them very redundant, so you get very good resiliency. If one microservice goes down, there's lots of others to help pick up the load, so you never have to worry about going offline. You can do updates in real time by just updating round-robin services, and everything else will keep working, so your system never comes down. However, it's a far more complex design pattern than doing a traditional website. So if you don't need five nines of resiliency, or I think we only four nines and a five is what we give, then microservices is often a step too far. But we'll have a look at why you might want to use that. Azure Functions is a fairly new technology. In fact, it's currently in public preview. And this is all around serverless computing. So serverless computing is a concept that in many ways has resurrected its head again. It's really event-driven. And what Functions does is allow you to deploy a piece of code to Azure, maybe, and have it watch for events that happen in Azure. So for instance, you may have a function that watches a blob storage area, and when photos are uploaded, you could actually take that photo, apply machine learning to it, or turn it into a thumbnail is a good example. The great thing is that it will happen no matter how something gets into blob storage, as opposed to you having to have an application that actually does the transfer and does the conversion. So you're responding to events. If you want to take it all the way back, you know, let's go back to the VB world, shall we? You know, on click, remember that? So we had the on click event. So all you're doing with Functions is really handling things that happen inside Azure, like clicking a mouse button or clicking a button. The fourth one here is cloud services. And cloud services, really, that's the birth point of Azure. So if you go back to when Azure first came into existence, we skipped IaaS completely. We actually didn't even think about doing this kind of hosted VM world. We went straight into the PaaS model, and we went into it with cloud services, worker roles, web roles. Eventually, we introduced a VM role to try and pick up some of the people who weren't quite ready to completely rewrite their applications to go to the cloud. But that's when we really saw, you know, that was our first vision of the cloud with all PaaS all the time, and cloud services was the first implementation of that. Now, obviously, we're moving into more complex technologies and more advanced technologies. So cloud services, while it's running a lot of what runs on Azure, is slowly people are moving off it and moving into things like app service and service fabric or containers. So cloud services is really now more for monolithic three-tier applications that were built in the kind of the old way of building. And then finally, you can actually go and find someone else's PaaS to run on top of Azure. So because we're a VM layer underneath, there are a number of companies like Cloud Foundry, Apprenda, Jetlastic, who have actually built their own PaaS platform that runs on top of Azure that you can utilize if you like the way they do it. Cloud Foundry is similar to Service Fabric in the way it's implemented, and it's actually one of the most popular microservice frameworks or platforms that people are using today. So what that tries to do is just give you an overview of kind of the platform all up. And what I really want to do now is kind of step into looking at the breadth of things that are inside the platform. So, Azure is huge, okay? 60 plus services and growing every single day. You know, I joke about keeping up, trying to keep people always ask, how do you keep up with Azure? Well, it's hard, yeah? Because new stuff comes out. You have to have a little bit of focus, but, you know, we've got lots of highly functional pieces of platform in there, and it allows you to take different services to compose applications rather than doing file new project and having to write them all from scratch. You know, so we've got things like media services, and we've got data solutions, and we've got identity services. So, you know, you can add identity just with a couple of clicks to your project, Active Directory to it, rather than having to go and write all the code to make it happen. You know, we can maximize the efficiency of your ability to deliver in the lifecycle with continuous integration, continuous deployment, the fact that services are always there, and we have things like staging slots that allow you to easily swap out implementations directly into the cloud. And our services are enterprise grade. They run in the biggest set of data centers of any company in the world. We're in more locations than anybody else, which gives you the ability to do anything really that you imagine. As we think about diving one level deeper, and we can go deeper and deeper actually on this, you know, look at the sort of things that you have just given to you essentially for free. You know, single sign-on, but also multi-factor authentication. Many options for data, whether it be SQL data, whether it be NoSQL data, we offer all of those from inside Azure. You know, broadcasting or media streaming, had a customer talking this morning about a lot of the streaming stuff that they do. So lots and lots of technology, and I think this quote from Mike Hanrahan, CTO of Jet, kind of really encapsulates it well, you know, that they're not in the business of creating, you know, new databases, new queuing methodologies, new storage mechanisms. That's not immediately of value to what they're trying to achieve. What they're trying to achieve is to build a brand new e-commerce solution. So being able to just leverage all the services that come inside Azure allowed them to focus on the task at hand of building out an e-commerce system rather than having to focus on, you know, how do I plumb everything and make it all work. So I spoke a little bit about solutions earlier on. So we have lots of solutions now that we're looking at. So across the board, marketing, e-commerce, mobile, backup and recovery, archiving, lots of things like that, trying to think in a more holistic way. Today we're going to talk about e-commerce solutions with my pretty typing hands. So let's just talk to start with before we get into kind of the technical details about, you know, What as a developer, you know, is driving you to do the things that you do when you're building out an e-commerce system? Which is what a lot of people are doing. I actually spoke to someone the other day who said, you know, almost everybody needs some way of processing, you know, credit cards and selling stuff. So the first thing that you're going to focus on is that your job is to give the customers what they want. That's how you're going to make sales. You know, so the focus of the thing you build needs to be really customer-centric. You need to be able to transact sales, you know, no matter what the scale is, and be able to transact them securely. You need to have capacity so that as the demand for your products goes up, you can actually meet that customer demand and that they don't get thrown off the site or they fail to get through something. You want to think about more than just your website and think about your entire supply chain. So it's not just about making a sale on the website. It's about how do I actually then fulfill that order? Or how do I make sure I have enough stock? All those things become part of what you do in an e-commerce situation. And then again, it's focusing on the core task at hand rather than managing infrastructure. You don't want to spend time managing your infrastructure. You want to focus on what it is you deliver. And Azure can really help in a number of ways here. So the first thing is our ability to analyze your applications and help you make decisions based on what's actually happening in your application. So we have tools that allow you to analyze site traffic and then allow you to say, okay, I see these sort of things are happening. What do I want to do to customize that? What do I want to do A/B test? Or make specific offers when I see what works to drive customers to my site. It's got to be easy to use. So we give you the tools to be able to focus on the ease of use of your application, rather than just making the application work. And then make sure it's deployed on top of a secure e-commerce platform. And we are We are PCI DSS certified, so we can store credit card information. We're very secure. We have a number of, you know, pretty much the more compliance certificates than any other cloud. So a very secure platform for you to transact on. You want to be able to scale economically. I mean, one of the big things with e-commerce is there are certain times of year when people buy stuff. Christmas, holidays, things like that. You need to be able to scale at that time. There are other times where you don't need as much scale in your infrastructure. And what's great with Azure, of course, is it allows you to scale up and down just as you need it. Whether you do that manually, because you know something's coming, where you know you're going to have a burst, or whether you set it up to do it automatically, so it just watches what's happening on your site. The great thing there is if you're responsible for the commerce piece of your organization, if you set up automatic scaling, you don't have to worry so much about some crazy marketer somewhere making a special offer to the customers that puts 10x the traffic on your site, because you know that Azure is there to be able to sort it out. You want to be able to automate tasks, you know, so you reduce the time you spend writing and rewriting code. You know, automate things like continuous integration, continuous deployment, testing, and then also automating deployment to the cloud using things. I'll show you ARM templates as we go forward, which is a nice way of scripting what an app looks like in the cloud and has a deployment framework with it. So the more that you can do there, the more efficient you can be in what you deliver. And then again, use pre-built cloud services to focus on these e-commerce solutions. And I'll show you a few of your options there that just allow you to, you know, take something that someone's already built that you customize to be able to move forward. I said we'd just kind of touch on a few customers. And you know, we've got a few customers here. So Pandora, jewelry organization. A lot of what they did in their e-commerce world is less about direct to customer, because they actually, most people come to a store to buy jewelry. So what they did was they focused their e-commerce solution on their business-to-business or their partner-to-partner solutions. How did I make sure that I've enabled the people who own these franchise stores, give them all the information that they need to be able to sell the jewelry? Laura Geller is a beauty organization, sells makeup and things like that. They spend a lot of time with the e-commerce system focused on things like bursting scenarios, where they would do special campaigns that burst very, you know, had large amounts of people come and get involved in them. They needed to be able to support that. Iberia Express is a low-cost airline in out of Spain. When they had an opportunity, they rebuilt their entire booking system on top of Azure to allow them to get the scale and to reduce their costs and to be much more efficient for their customers. And then Jet.com, well, we'll talk about them in a sec, but Jet.com are a large e-commerce system built actually by the guy who built Diapers.com and sold it to Amazon for $500 million. So he had some capital. But I'll play a little video and then we can talk a little bit more about Jet's implementation. You going to play? Nothing wrong as they didn't take the video out. There we go.
I love the idea of starting something from nothing.
At Jet.com, I saw an opportunity to transform e-commerce by focusing and innovating around price to, in real time, reprice products according to what's in people's baskets.
In order to do that, our pricing engine needs to continually evaluate tens of millions of products across thousands of merchants. There's continually tens of billions of operations going on to provide the lowest prices online. We're not in the business of creating new databases, new queuing methodologies, new storage mechanisms. Being able to leverage all the services and tools that are on the Azure platform, and we've gone from zero to a fully fledged e-commerce marketplace in about 12 months.
We already have 400,000 people signed up, and at launch, there's the potential for millions of people to hit the website to get to billions of dollars in top line revenue. To be able to handle that level of scale would not be possible if it weren't for the cloud. We can sleep at night knowing that we're using Microsoft Azure cloud services.
So what's interesting about Jet is just kind of the approach that they took to building this new platform. So that video is about a year old, actually, as you heard, he said at launch. Well, they launched. They've been pretty successful. But they took this focus on, you know, that their big thing was they wanted to go up against Amazon. And that was the challenge that they took on. They said, I want to compete against a retail giant. I mean, Amazon is so much bigger as a retail organization than anybody else. What do we do to go up against them? And what you saw there was they focused on price. And they did this by doing clever things inside the engine. Like, as you add things to your shopping cart, they can pick them from different locations to make shipping cheaper. And that by bundling things together, they can reduce the cost of all the items that you ship. And they have a very complex engine in the back end that does that. And they chose .NET, open source, and all running on top of Azure as the suite of technologies that were the right thing for them to use. So some of the outcomes that we had was, you know, they could go from code to production in minutes just based on the tooling that we offered them in VSTS, Visual Studio, but also our ability to support all of the open source technologies that they cared about. As they grew, you know, they started out with only about 20% of the 25% of everything they sold actually coming from them. And they were selling a lot of partner products. But as they grew, they needed more storage capacity for all the different products that they were now having to put inside their e-commerce system. And then be able to scale to meet spikes in customer traffic. And it's interesting to think about Jet, because I don't know if anybody knows what just happened to them. So they launched about a year ago. With the goal of they were going to be doing about $20 million a month or something like that. Back in just under a month ago, it was announced that Walmart have just bought them for $3.6 billion after two, and they've only been around for 2 years, 1 year of build, 1 year in market. So he did quite well out of that. But it can show, you know, if you're imaginative and you go off and build an interesting system and you can attract attention from people. And this is just a kind of a view of some of the pieces that they do. And you can see where they're using Azure for things like, you know, their pricing engine. So very complex pricing engine, doing lots of calculations, you know, a lot of the time, running in Azure with load balanced across multiple machines. You know, it's the sort of thing it would be hugely expensive to implement to try and do on-premise, because you really need the scale and the capabilities of, like, data mining, machine learning to be able to actually run these type of algorithms. You know, merchant data and how do I integrate with, you know, people all over the world? If it's not coming from me, I need to be able to work with another organization's stockroom to get them to ship something and place an order and do all of that through the cloud as well. Real-time data. You know, you saw the prices changing in real time. You need something as powerful as the cloud to be able to manage things in real time for customers. And then product data, as I said, lots of storage, lots of indexes, searchable. So again, without the cloud, it would have been really hard for them to build this type of infrastructure to be able to be as successful as they were. So those are examples of, you know, customers today who are using this stuff. Let me actually step into some of the things that, you know, I can help you with today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to step over and do a couple of demos. But let's have a look first at a fairly simple e-commerce architecture. So what you'll see as you go to azure.com WAX solutions, that we're putting more and more of these architectures out there to try and give you a simplified view of the services that you care about to do a specific thing. So in this case, it's e-commerce. What you essentially have here is, at the core, there's a website which has Active Directory associated with it, which that allows me to process both customer logins through things like Facebook or Google authentication and identity, or to allow Active Directory users to come in for employees who need to go and access the site. All of that is linked off to a set of data stores. And in this case, we have a combination of blob storage, which is where we store images and things like that, and text for the site, and then a SQL database, which is where we store kind of the catalog of products with all the detail we need that needs to be searchable, and then things like orders and customer information. That's all become searchable, so we have search service on it, and then we have a cache, a Redis cache, that allows us to provide a bit more performance as we hit particularly our mobile implementation. We have a mobile browser, which is all of that is fed by a CDN system. And then we have Service Bus Queue, which deals with our credit card transactions. a web job for processing those transactions and then sending them off to a third-party payment system. So that's a relatively simple architecture that you could deploy that set of services and then build an interesting e-commerce site on top of it. This is where I want to show you kind of just how easy it is. And it'll be less easy because, well, firstly, my machine locked. Hello. See that? No hands. Round of applause for no hands. Windows Hello, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. What I wanted to do, and I'm sorry, again, because I was late, I hadn't had a chance to kind of pre-warm everything up. I wanted to show you what that actually looks like, what that particular solution looks like, as far as something that you might look at. So what we have here is we actually have a Visual Studio project that contains a couple of things. There is a PowerShell script, and this is what executes when we run this project, when we actually do a deploy. So there's a PowerShell script here. It's making a lot of calls. It's passing parameters in that we've defined as to how to set everything up. And then what we have is we actually have this. And this is a JSON file. And this is actually an ARM, what we call an ARM template. Anybody familiar with ARM templates? So what ARM templates allow you to do for the other people than the four who put their hands up is have a repeatable way of deploying a set of services to Azure so that I can constantly just run an ARM template, have it deploy, and I know that I'll get exactly the same set of services deployed to Azure that time. It also allows me to define them. And what's really nice in Visual Studio, actually, is if you look on the left-hand side, you know, because JSON, it's a nice, it's not a bad format. It's like the next version of XML. When they made XML too complex, someone went back and just started again at the beginning, and that they call JSON. That's kind of how that works. I think this is something we do in the industry all the time, actually. We add more and more stuff, and then we want to go back to simplification. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff in here, but that's kind of a pain to write. But what I can do is I can go in here and say, you know, I can click on this JSON Explorer on the left-hand side, and it gives me an easy way to navigate the JSON. So here's an example of a piece of JSON in an ARM template. So this one is to set up an app service plan. So before you can run a web app or a mobile app, you need an app service plan to run inside. And what it said, it's going to say that it's a type, it's an app plan, and I'm going to give it a set of parameters, give it a name, tell it what sort of size it is. And it's very easy for me to actually kind of just script that out and set it up. You know, I could also go down and say, here's the website. And I can go down and I can kind of look at all of the details of the website, or I can go into here and say, hey, I want to go and look at SQL Server. So this is what my SQL Server is actually going to look like. Or my orders template, my orders database. So I can set all these things up directly inside the JSON. Now, I'm a little worried that I got an error when I opened this file. That did concern me slightly. I'm going to close it again and actually open it, try and open it from the disk, because it worked before. Again, this is what happens when you're rushing and you don't actually have time to pre-warm stuff. Let's just go in here and open it from here. Yeah, my solution in here. I love that. No, I know. Be warned. So I've actually got, I will have to open it. So I have both current Visual Studio and the pre-release of Visual Studio, both installed on my machine. And apparently the version selector doesn't work in the pre-release one. So we'll try again. All right, almost there. I also got a little bit apparently carried away with my folder structure. Give it a sec. Okay, that's fine. Okay, so that's good. That doesn't seem to have had an error. So what I'm going to do now is I am going to do the magic, which is I'm going to take my... So now I have my JSON files, I have a parameters file, and I have a PowerShell script. If the demo gods are with us this afternoon, I can actually deploy this to Azure. What I'm going to do is I'm going to choose a new deployment, and I am going to choose to put it on my own internal consumption. So this is my subscription that I'm using. I'm going to create a new resource group, and I'll call it SaaS e-commerce Ignite Live. Going to tell it where I want to put it. Where are we? What's going to be closest? Actually, I'm just going to use West US because I like that one. I'm going to hit create. So it's going to create a resource group, which is what I'm actually going to deploy my ARM template into. I will not bother with any of that other stuff. It's going to ask me for some parameters. So what I'll do is just give it a database name. So hopefully it'll start. And you can see that I've got certain things. One thing interesting to notice here, you know, I deployed to West US, but if you look down at the App Insights location, it's in Central. So one thing to realize about the Azure Cloud is that not every service is necessarily available in every single location. Most normally because either they're preview, so we only deploy them to certain data centers. That is the case with App Insights. Or just because it's a brand new data center and we're still rolling out our services to it. So as we launch new data centers, they don't necessarily get all of Azure right out of the gate. Sometimes we have to roll them out over time. Most stuff you'll be able to find, but it's important to know to be aware of that. Okay, so that's actually started deploying. And I'll give it a couple of minutes just to, there we go, that's what it needed. So I'm going to give it a database password, which is the one I defined earlier, just to create the database. Okay, tells me the template's valid. And then what I'll do is while I'm waiting for that to go, I'm going to, because it takes a few minutes to deploy, I'll go to portal.azure.com. Okay, and what I can do is actually, hopefully it's gone across by now. We'll see. Yes, there you go. So here's my resource group. So there's my SaaS e-commerce live. I can click in my resource group. I can look at all of the things that it's creating inside there. You'll see that it says deploying. Many of those things are actually already deployed, but you can see that I have, you know, I have my cache, my CDN profile, my App Insights instance, my search service, my databases, my app service plan, my app service site, just down here. And I think what you'll find is this will actually take about 10 minutes because Redis takes a long time to deploy. But you can see now I have a website all set up. I could actually just go and start deploying code into that as if it was any other sort of web server, whether it be stuff I'd already built or whether it's, you know, something I got from somewhere else. But that's how easy it is. And now I can just deploy that over and over again. We actually can package it as an ARM template file that you can just click on and literally deploy. This, I did it from Visual Studio because I wanted to show you what's inside it. But this is how you would take it. This is an example e-commerce solution that is going to be made available to you in the form of an ARM template probably in the next month or so. It's going through final testing at the moment. So you'd actually just be able to take this ARM template and deploy it into your cloud. So, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip back again. So that's, you know, that's a simple e-commerce site. But there's, you know, there's a lot more that you could do. So I showed you something very simple. So let's have a look at a couple more complex propositions. So now we have a fault-tolerant e-commerce site. So you want to take the next step up. You know, what you saw there was that was, you know, small organization selling a small number of things who wanted to build their own site. This is more fault tolerant. So what you'll notice is we now have both a primary and a secondary location. And we're going to manage traffic using Traffic Manager, which will route users between those two sites based on availability, based on scale, and what's actually going there. We've also introduced Cortana Analytics. So in Cortana Analytics, one of the pieces that we have is actually a recommendations API. So if you think about, you know, If you think about your favorite e-commerce shopping website, which says, if you buy this, you should buy that, we've built an API inside Cortana to do that for you. So you don't have to go out and reinvent that wheel. It's just a plugin that you can just call into, and we will use Cortana's machine learning technology to be able to build out the recommendations for your particular e-commerce site. And then also what we've done is we've added in Power BI, because not only do we want to be able to sell to people, we actually want to be able to analyze what it is happening on the site. So by just plugging in Power BI to our data sources, we can do complex visualizations of what's actually going on the site. So this kind of really just kind of blows that out, makes it geographically replicated, redundant, so you know you can get a much higher level of availability and resiliency with more intelligence. But it's interesting. So the first two of these have all been purely online solutions. You know, they're purely in the cloud. But actually, a lot of e-commerce is not purely in the cloud anymore. If you think about your favorite home improvement store, I don't know, Lowe's, Home Depot, British ones, which I forget now, which is terrible. I've been gone for 16 years. I've forgotten what their home improvement stores are. Often what happens is you go to their e-commerce site to search up something. And, you know, I need to find some wood or whatever it is. I'm building a dog house for my dog at the moment. So I needed to find out whether they had, like, the right 2x4s and 2x2s that I needed. And they will tell you how many are available in the store so that you can go down and get them. So you can find out that they actually have things you need to buy before you go and get them. Because I'm not having people ship me wood. I'm going to go and pick it up. So what you need to do there is actually connect an e-commerce presence with a in-store or brick-and-mortar presence. And that's what this diagram represents. So the e-commerce site itself should look fairly, you know, similar to what you've seen in the other ones. But where it changes is we have this API management layer and then a full IoT suite on the left-hand side. So what we're doing here is we actually have all of the items inside the store, inside the retail location, have asset tags on them. We have a set of sensors with a beacon and a gateway that allows us to collect information about everything that's actually physically inside the store and track it. We feed that out. All that data gets fed out through the IoT hub into Stream Analytics. So we've got all this data. So as people leave the store with items, we, you know, decrement them inside the data as it comes through. That goes into our inventory synchronization, which is a service bus service over there for ERP. And then what we've got is we've actually got service fabric, lots of little services monitoring as things change that pull everything together and send it as into the API as a feed that our website can ask about. So for every single item, I can come in and I can say, you know, have you got 8-foot-long 2x4s? How many have you got? So my site can go and ask that and query it from all that data that's being collected on from the sensors and the IoT in the store. So this is a real implementation for a customer who's actually done this. But it's good to expand your thinking when you think about what does e-commerce look like? You know, is it just online? Do I want to integrate with some form of on-premise solution? And what can I do to expand? And these diagrams are all available online. They will all eventually get ARM templates with them. It just takes a little bit of time. Now, one of the things you'll notice in this, I'm just looking at the next, okay, is that I pointed out to a third-party payment processor. And this is something that's interesting, and I have a slide on this in a minute, but you might not want to do a custom solution. This is actually an example of pre-built solutions currently running inside Azure today that will actually give you a pre-built e-commerce site. So let me just flip out, and I'm going to actually go through the solutions page and let you have a look at what it means to actually do that kind of deployment. So this is our solutions homepage. Give you an idea of the 18, 16, 18 solutions that we have today. Things like digital marketing. I'm going to go into e-commerce. You know, so this is a site that you can send your business people to say, hey, if you're thinking about doing e-commerce, have a look at what other people are doing and what's important. So we have video, we have little customer testimonials, links to services, and then links out to these pre-built e-commerce solutions that live in the Azure Marketplace. Now, the Azure Marketplace is a great place to go if you're looking for help building stuff. Okay, there's a lot of different solutions in here, and you know, I just pulled out a few. There are actually more than that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to actually just do this and create a web app. See if anyone else to work again. Oh, there we go. Okay. So this is all done. Again, this is an ARM template underneath the covers. So I'm going to do OC Ignite Ecom, give it a name. Notice that, oh, that's a little slow. There you go. Notice this green check mark. So all site names in Azure have to be globally unique. So you'll actually end up doing, your sites will actually look a little weird in the end because they'll end up being weird sets of characters to make sure they're globally unique. Again, I'm going to put it inside my subscription. I'm going to hit a new resource group. And now I'm going to deploy my app service plan. So I'm going to actually, I'll just go and create a new one. You can see the one we just created in West US. I'm going to call it Ecom. I'm going to, again, I'll put it in West, just because I know that West is good. And I can choose my pricing tier. And I'll just quickly talk about pricing tiers. So it's going to obviously choose me standard to start with. It's going to give me an estimated price for the month to run a standard pricing tier. You can see that you could go down to basic, or you could go up, you know, to a P2 premium, really depending on your traffic. And you don't have to make that choice. You have to make a choice now, but you can always change this at any time. So I'll just select a standard pricing tier and hit OK. And then the other thing with this template is I now actually have to go in and do a database. And interestingly enough, they've chosen to use a MySQL database. So we're not even running Microsoft database now. So I'm going to give it a notice that I'm actually not a I can only use lowercase letters. It's really interesting. I don't know why they make that decision. I can choose for it to be shared or dedicated. I can again choose where I want to run it. So I'm going to choose to run it in what I like to do is tend to run things in the same place, especially data versus a site. Just from a performance point of view. And then I get to choose the type of MySQL database I want to do and how much it's going to cost me a month. Interesting thing with this is that what you'll see is as I hit that and select that I'm going to use Mercury, so it's free, and I hit the legal terms, you pay for this separately. So this doesn't come out of your Azure credits. You actually have to pay separately for the MySQL side of the house if you choose one that you need to buy. So I'll purchase it. Hit OK, and then I'll pin it to the dashboard and hit Create. Give it a sec, validation, doing a deployment. And this will take a few seconds to walk through. But really, this is the simplest way you could possibly do this. It's all open source. You could go and get it from its Git repository as well. They have a website. And there are a number of people who deliver these pre-built solutions, not just for e-commerce, but for marketing website. If you went to the digital marketing talk earlier this week, you know, there's a number of people there like Orchard CMS or EpiServer or Sitecore who do CMS systems inside. What I want to do is I'll let that just build for a sec and quickly skip back because I did want to get to this slide. So we talked about credit card processors, and I'm asking for some help here. Okay. This is a slide of this is actually all the ones that currently have modules with that OpenCart free system. So these are all the different credit card processors you could choose to use. What you have to do is go and sign up for a site, go and sign up on them. Anything that has a blue link has a way to go and sign up now. Notice at the bottom, and if you download the slides later, there is a link to a feedback.azure.com. This is a current piece of feedback item because we don't have an Azure gateway, payment gateway service today. We will always send you off. Even though we're PCI DSS compliant, so we're allowed to process credit cards on Azure, we don't have one. This is a request form saying, do you want us to build one? Currently, there's 100 votes to say yes. We'd like to get that up because then people will pay attention to it. So my plea is that maybe that you could pop out and actually click the button and say, yes, I'll upvote you, and that we do want to build a payment gateway. All right, I'm just waiting, hoping that would come back. What I'll do is I'll skip onto the resources before we leave and then come back if that finishes in time. Because these 45 sessions are short. So here's just a few resources for you. The first thing is, you can get started for free today. You've probably heard that every single Azure talk you've ever been to, okay? $200 worth of credits for a month, and then we have lots of free options. So App Service, for instance, has a free tier that you can continue to use. But go and try it out, you know? Go and get the free, and then go and deploy something and see how it goes. It's no harm to you. Visit our azure.com solutions page. You can look at all this solutions information there. We've got great training resources if you want to get started on community WAC training on azure.microsoft.com. And we also have a webinar series that's running every month at the moment. And you can get information about that at info.microsoft.com, Microsoft Azure monthly webinar series.html. And then unfortunately, it doesn't look like this is going to deploy in time. But what I will do is if I go over here to one, here's one I created earlier. If anybody's from the UK, you will remember that. This is essentially what you get out of the box, is when it loads. I wonder if that one's actually open. Yeah, everything's a little bit slow. Everybody get off the internet. If anybody saw Scott Hanselman's talk earlier this week, I don't know, but it was very funny. He was building a website, and he couldn't work out why it was so slow. And then he looked at the App Insights data, and in the time that he'd actually deployed the website and shown the URL, 83,500 people had hit it in like 2 minutes because they were watching him live streaming. So this is what you essentially get when you do an initial deployment of OpenCart. You get what is actually a pretty nice, you know, shopping interface, pre-populated with data, and you also get a full admin website. On the back end, which allows you to upload data into it. So if I give it just quickly. And you can go and do this today. You can literally go to the solutions page, e-commerce, click on OpenCart, take your free Azure dollars and deploy yourself an e-commerce site directly into Azure today. So if I log in, I'll just quickly show you this, hopefully, because they're going to kick me off. No, okay, well. Oh, well. There we go. A nice dashboard, the ability to add categories, add products, very, very simply, all automatic, all running on Azure today. So I encourage you to go and try it. With that, my time is up, but hopefully you'll go out and try some of these things, you know, have a look at, you know, pre-built solutions. You know, you can also go off and add credit card payments to just existing sites that you have. And wait for, you know, in the next few weeks, we'll be actually releasing some of these ARM templates to give you a starting point to be able to go out and create your own sites. With that, thank you very much for your time and enjoy the rest of the conference.